Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
So, Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to meet in this facility, to be able to hear your word, to be able to worship together in freedom in our country. Lord, we're thankful that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Lord, we're not helpless. We're never helpless because you sent us the helper. You sent us one that was just like Jesus when he was on the earth, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, it is the anointing that destroys yokes and removes bondages. Holy Spirit, you are the one that gives us light and understanding, that gives us, that teaches us truth and how to walk in the path of light and the words of light, which are the scriptures. And we're thankful for that. Holy Spirit, you're the one that gives us boldness to speak out for what we believe, for the greater one who lives on the inside of us. You're the one who gives us the ability to know the future before we get there, because you said in John that you would show us things to come that haven't happened yet, and we can know them. Lord, we don't believe in deja vu. We don't believe in just weird things like karma and different things like that. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, the third person in the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, who teaches, leads, and guides us into all truth, who brings all things to our remembrance, who reminds us and shows us things about that Jesus has said to us. We believe that we reap what we sow. So we sow the word of God. We sow blessings with our mouths. We sow the favor of God, the forgiveness of God, and the mercy of God. And we thank you, Father, that you watch over your word and perform it in our lives. In Jesus' name, have your way in this service like you already have. Continue to lead me and help me say what you want to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's go to Ezekiel. I'm going to go back a little bit here and then launch forward into what we had talked about last week in controlling our thoughts. Controlling our thoughts. And I want to read this to you too real quick. This is a total side note here, but Ezekiel 28 is where you want to go. You know about Life Impact International. I always said it, almost said it, Heidi. Provision International. That's another ministry that we know, a missions ministry. But you know about Life Impact International. I showed you the video about the Christmas thing that we did. Well, I just wanted to read this to you real quick because I got a personal message from her, from Lana Vasquez. And so she just said, "Hi, Pastor Sean." And so I wanted to share this with you because this is you guys too. You know, this is... You have sown into the church, and then we've sown into them. She said, "I recently saw your donation, and I just wanted to personally say thank you with all of our hearts." Now, we sowed again into them after the Christmas deal. So this is another blessing that we were able to give them. She said, "I just wanted to say thank you with all of our hearts. We are reaching and rescuing on the Thai-Burma border. And it's huge, and honestly, I was praying for reinforcement and help, and then I saw your offering." Isn't that cool? We were able to just, bam, get in there. I mean, that's how the Lord works in the body of Christ. He'll connect you with people. Now, it turns out I know her. We were at Rhema at the same time, and I didn't, for some reason, I don't know, you know, it disconnected somehow. It's been a lot of years since I was at Rhema, so. But anyway, she said, "The Buddhist Thai government will come to our land this Monday," which will be tomorrow, "to see about sending us all the traffic children, street kids, and beggars to liaison with us in the very near future. So please be praying for us. I just wanted to drop a little note and say your offering was appreciated greater than you know, and we will reach and rescue as many Buddhists, Muslims, and Hindus, as well as exploited children as we can with your offering." Isn't that cool? And then she just said, just wanted to say proud of you guys for stepping out and planting a church. Always knew when you were in prayer and healing school that you would do some pretty incredible things for the kingdom. And I sometimes as the pastor, I get attention just for everything, just because you're the person. You're kind of the face, But I just wanted to share that with you guys because that's just as much for you as it is for me. Because we don't do it on our own. Are you kidding? I believe, and this is true, and I've prayed about this so many times, but I believe that the people that have come since the beginning, okay, Susan and Chris and Shannon and even Shane, that God is going to continue, as we continue to move forward, that he'll move you into positions of leadership and service. Do you know what I mean? So that we're a part of the body moving forward. Because obviously, just us, we can't do it. I mean, at this point, it's easier. But as we continue to grow and as we develop, and bet you this, we will grow. hell will freeze over before we don't grow. Let's just put it that way, okay? And how many know hell's not freezing over anytime soon, okay? So we will. That's not the issue. But as we continue to grow and develop and the church, what we do as a ministry grows, I mean, you want to be a part of it because the blessing of the Lord is in it. The blessing of the Lord is in it. I want to read something. In fact, I'm going to skip here, and you're just going to have to put up with me this morning. Let's go to Zechariah. I want to read something to you that the Lord's been putting on my heart lately. Yeah, lady. Easy for you to say. Zechariah chapter 10. And I want you to see this so that you can be praying this as well. Because I've noticed this every week. Well, I shouldn't say every week, but pretty much most of the weeks that we've been meeting now, that the presence of God is getting stronger and stronger, and the gifts of God that are in us are rising up even stronger. But Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1, this is something that I'm praying for the church and for Billings. And so you'll want to do that, and I'm declaring this over us as a body and over the Lord's church. But it says this: ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds. I like that. He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. For the idols speak delusion, the diviners envision lies and tell false dreams. You know there's a lot of false dreams that are told. They comfort in vain. Therefore the people wend their way like sheep. In other words, they kind of wander around, okay? Like sheep. The scripture says in verse 3, my anger is kindled against, I'm sorry, the last part of verse 2. They are in trouble because there is no shepherd. My anger is kindled against the shepherds, and I will punish the goat herds, for the Lord of hosts will visit his flock, the house of Judah. And I love this. And will make them as his royal horse in battle. From him comes the cornerstone, from him the tent peg, from him the battle bow, from him every ruler together. They shall be like mighty men who tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle. They shall fight because... Wow, I just found a typo in my Bible. Yes, it's because is spelled B-E-C-U-S-E. Anyway, they shall fight because the Lord is with them, and the riders on the horses shall be put to shame. I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph. I will bring them back because I have mercy on them. They shall be as though I had not cast them aside, for I am the Lord their God, and I will hear them. Those in Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as if with wine. That's pretty cool, huh? Do you remember Acts chapter 2? The scripture says that they thought they were drunk with wine. Right there. It was prophesied in Zechariah. And if you go up to verse 4, Zechariah 10:4, from him comes the cornerstone. Who's the cornerstone? Jesus. Okay? But you say, what are you praying? I'm praying for rain. The latter rain, because we want, not only will we be a church that is very strong on the word of God and applying the word on a daily basis, because I don't believe that you can be a strong Christian just by having Holy Ghost meetings. It's impossible. We need all kind of meetings, and we'll have all kind of meetings. But the reality is, until you have a foundation, when you leave the service after the anointing lifts, really what happens is your mind gets distracted on other things. As you leave, you got to have a word that you can stand on. When nothing feels good, you have to go by what you know, not by what you feel. You have to trust in what you know and truth, not by what you feel. Truth is not subject to feeling, but feeling is subject to truth. Okay? So what's happening is you, as part of the body of Christ and as part of what we're doing, you are being developed into a strong believer. Not just a believer. You know, you're not going to be the type of believer that is you meet somebody who needs ministry, or you meet somebody who needs deliverance in some way or something like that. You're not the Christian that's just going to run to take them to the minister. You're going to minister to them yourself. Because the same resurrection that lives in me lives in you. The Lord did not discriminate against us when he created us. He made us all the same. Does everybody have a right hand? Raise your right hand and repeat after me. No, I'm just kidding. Everybody's got a right hand. Everybody's got a left hand. Does everybody have a tongue? That means you have the power of life and death in you. Do you understand that? The power of life and death is where? It's in the tongue. That's where it is. And so if the power of life and death is in the tongue, man, you have the ability to affect life and death in your life. When I walked in this morning to the church, I looked at, I think I was talking to Katie and maybe Lauren, but I said, we are this close to having a manifestation of some things that we've been believing for. Do you know I'm intentional with my faith? I do not do this. I do not pray, if it be thy will, after every prayer I pray. No, 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 no. Now, there are times I do pray that, but that only has to do with the direction for my life. Once I know what direction I'm supposed to go, I don't bother with if it be thy will. I know. Now, there are certain things in the scripture, like healing, prosperity, soundness of mind, the salvation of our families, the blessing of the Lord. I mean, there are so many different things. The fruit of the Spirit, all those things that I don't need to pray if it's the Lord's will. I know it's his will. I know it is. I'm not wondering about it. I'm not vacillating back and forth. Now, if I'm having a symptom or something in my body, I may check to see with the Lord, okay, where am I missing it? But I'm not wondering if it be thy will, Lord. And so in prayer, the Lord has impressed, just like Zechariah 10 that I read there, that the Lord said, pray for rain in the time of the latter rain. I didn't make that up. The Lord gave that to me. So am I wondering if it's going to rain? Nope. I'm in patient expectation. It's going to rain. It will rain. Now I'll share this with you too, just so you... Because, you know, the scripture in here talks about, in Zechariah, talked about false dreams. Well, we've had a few non-false dreams that have happened. I'm talking about real dreams, okay? I'm not talking like, I have a dream, okay? I'm talking, you know, the scripture says that, if you go back and read Acts chapter 2, that God gives dreams, okay? It talks about it, in more than one place. I don't get it. Just look it up sometime if you want to, okay? And there are false dreams, and then there are right dreams. Now, I've had a few dreams in my life, but I'm not much of a dreamer, okay? In the sense of, the Lord doesn't speak to me usually through dreams. Now, I'm open to it. He can. And let me just say this, not every dream is from God. I know people that think it is. It is not. I will say it again. It is not. That may not be for you. That could be the internet world, okay? But it is not. Not every dream is of God. Sometimes it was too much pepperoni pizza. Okay? It can affect, or whatever you watched on TV. Okay? But there are dreams from the Lord, and they are specific. You know it. You don't have to guess. It's obvious. So two different dreams have happened, and both of those dreams, actually I think there's been three. Because you've had at least two, right? Tessa and then Jody. and the dreams are almost identical. I mean, they're from different perspectives, because Tessa's dreams were from the stage. They're from the worship area. And Jody's dream was from the nursery inn. Okay? And what it ended up being was, is it was rain, but it was the all these pews. Now, whether these pews fill or we get another building and land and they fill, it doesn't matter to me. The point is that this was full. The room was full. And people were seeking God. I mean, they were going after it. And people were being set free. People were being delivered. Now, Jody's dream, and I know Tess has involved some worship things and stuff like that, and that's probably for her more individually and personally. But Jody's dream, she was in the nursery, and it was packed. I mean, there was, you know, kids. Now, it wouldn't take real long to pack that nursery, but still it was packed, okay? So, but she came in here for some reason, or was going out into the hallway or something for some reason, and she looked in here, and she said, the whole front area was full of people, and the area out there was full of people seeking and worshiping God. There were people on their knees up in the front worshiping the Lord and stuff like that. What is that? That is the Lord saying, hey, pay attention. It's coming. It's coming. The move of God is coming. And so what we're doing is preparing foundation to have a move of God. You want to be strong when God moves. Because you know when God moves, you know who else moves? The enemy, always. I've watched it happen so many times. I've watched moves of God stop. Just get stopped, just like that. Why? Division, strife, different things. And it got into the leadership, and it got into the people, and it just dissolves the power of God. And the one thing that the whole church is like, yes, God, we want you to move. And then when he starts moving, they allow the enemy in, and poof, it stops. You got to watch it. You got to watch it and be aware of it. And so that's why we're at where we're at right now, which is one, it's what even was said this morning a couple of times. Know your Father, because he's good. He's the best. And he wants the best for you. So don't settle where you're at. Don't think, well, I'm pretty comfortable. No, 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 that's not enough. God wants you to have above and beyond, this is something Joel was saying to me, was it this morning? Above and beyond all you could ask or think. Beyond what you can imagine? Well, how big is that? Why? So that you can be a blessing to others, so that you can be blessed yourself and express the kingdom of God. Okay? Now, I know this isn't the message, per se, in a sense, but it'll all tie in here in just a second. Because the Holy Ghost always does that, all right? So don't just think to yourself, well, you know, I'm a part of it. We got to get out of the mentality of church is when I come and I sit down. No, church is who you is. I'm doing it on purpose. Church is who you are. You are the church. God does not dwell in temples made with hands. He dwells in you. If the enemy can keep us blinded to these things, he can stop the effectiveness of who you are as a Christian, which is all he wants to do. But when the promises of God manifest in your life, then when you step out into day-to-day life, I mean, people take notice. They want to know. What do you have that I don't have? I think I've told this before, but I'll say it again. Because I can only share what's happened to me. I can't tell your story. I'll leave that to you. Okay? So, I was working for my father-in-law several years ago, and I was spending a lot more time in prayer at that time and really seeking the Lord because I wanted to have a move of God. I wanted God to move. And I didn't just want God to move at church. Because we were in a church and part of a ministry where God moved. He did. I watched some amazing things happen. But it never affected outside the walls. And that irritated me. And because when I read about Jesus, and you've noticed it when you're reading through the Gospels with us, when you read about him, he affected everywhere he went. I mean, everything got messed up. Funerals got messed up. everybody's crying real good. We got the music and the and everything. We got the food prepared for afterwards, and Jesus come and raise a dude from the dead. The morning's over, and we got to put the tomb back, take it back to the the casket, back to the mortuary. Sorry, we want a refund. He didn't die after all. I mean, life with Jesus is exciting. I don't think the disciples were ever bored. You know what I mean? They never had a dull moment. Now, they might have had resting moments. Well, I know they did. But they never had a dull moment. So, I don't want... My heart for the church is not just to have clean, comfortable environments for everybody to come into. I want that because the Lord is clean and I believe he's comfortable. You know what I mean? I don't think he's like awkward or hard to get along with. He's not. But at the same time, I don't want church to become, we come and we sit on the pews. And then we listen, and then we go home and just kind of do whatever we want. And then we come back again the next week, and we, you know, and of course we give. We got to give, because you do that when you go to church. Well, why do you do it? Well, because it's probably a good thing to do, and it's a tax write-off. You know what I mean? Why don't you sow a seed and go, God, let's have a 30, 60, 100-fold. I mean, Christianity, I was raised in church. It's not supposed to be boring. We're supposed to affect an atmosphere. Okay, so now I'll get back to my story. I didn't forget. Okay? Sometimes I do, but I'm not going to this time. There was a gentleman that I was working for because I was like a foreman or superintendent for my father-in-law, and I was painting these houses for this particular contractor who's a Mormon gentleman. And one day I'm at work, and I had been spending quite a bit of time with the Lord and just really believing him, pushing, you know what I mean, inside, trusting that the Lord and expecting that certain things were going to happen. And I'm walking around the house just doing my work, doing my thing, and this guy comes up to me and just starts talking to me. And this guy's rough. I mean, he's really rough. His favorite word is the F word, okay? And he's proving it, all right, every day. Now, I know this, and I come to expect it from him, you know? One of these days, and I don't even remember how the conversation started, but one of the days he showed up, he's following me around, and we're just talking, and he just starts crying. He's just crying. And he goes, why am I crying? I don't understand why I'm crying. And I started to share the love of God with him. And he goes, nobody sees me cry. Now I have. Guess I'm nobody. No, he said, nobody sees me cry but my wife. Nobody's ever seen me cry but my wife. Well, he didn't know God saw him too, so that one's in there. But he's like, what is going on? And I said, this is the love of God. This is God. You're experiencing God right now because he's with me. And he decided to manifest himself here. Do you think that Jesus went into places and people were like, there's no God. God's not here. Everywhere he went. Unless people absolutely just were so hard-hearted and just rejected him, everywhere where there was a slight opening, the kingdom of heaven manifested. And you can do that too. That's what we need to get over. The enemy has done an excellent job. I'm not complimenting him. I'm just telling you, he's done a great job of masking who the church really is, of deceiving the church, of what? Disrupting the divine order. Well, we'll get back to the message. Of disrupting the divine order. What is life in Christ? Faith Family Church, life in Christ. What does that mean? When you die, you go to heaven? No, it means you have the resurrection in you right now. Right now. It means heaven lives inside your skin. And it should affect your money. It should affect your face. It should affect your smile. It should affect your health. It should, the kingdom of heaven should be affecting your kids. Every area of your life. How does that happen? Does it happen by, oh God, please make it happen. Please make it happen. No. That's not what we are. We are called to be made mighty in battle. What does that mean? We fight the good fight of faith. which they that are of faith do enter into rest. But what we must do is understand and allow the light of God's word to break every chain. You know, the Holy Spirit does that. He just softens the atmosphere. And you could come in here and feel like the world is weighing on your shoulders. And then we get into worship and you finally get out of your head and into your heart. And you start to sense the presence of God. And then you feel like, you know what, maybe it's not so bad after all. But what you don't realize is you didn't even have to get under that burden in the first place. You could have taken that. You could have been above it the whole time. You could have been above it the whole time. The scripture says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So fighting the good fight of faith has nothing to do with what you see in the sense of, well, how are we going to change these situations? We are going to take the promises of God, get in the light of those things, the lies of the enemy just show up. Then we take the word of God and we speak it out of our mouth, and it stops the enemy from being able to operate in our lives, and it releases the power of God to move in our lives. That's why prophecy is so vital. In other words, like the prophecy that we gave you from Jerry Savelle. Why is it important that you say that? Because God doesn't do anything in the earth without words. He doesn't. How did he create the earth? Words. He created it by words. If he created it by words, I wonder, and we know this, but the power of life and death is in the tongue. I wonder if your world could be created. There might be some things you need to put death in your mouth over. Think of a few. I'm not talking about, you know, your sibling that you don't like, all right? All right? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, what if there's a fear in your life and it keeps coming up and just kind of dogs your tracks? You know what I mean? It's just kind of always there. It's just always there. It just won't go away. You need to go, no. You're destroyed in Jesus' name. You need to put death in your mouth and speak to that area and cause that thing to end. Don't let it hang on to you. You don't have to. Does that make sense? Okay. Second Corinthians chapter 11. You're believing with me, right? Okay. Verse 3, we looked at this last week. And then we'll finish up here in about 10, 15 minutes. 2 Corinthians, what did I say? Did I say 1 Corinthians? I said 2nd, but I turned to 1st. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3 says this. This is something that we've talked about already, but the battle is where? It's in the mind, right? Paul said this to the Corinthians, "But I fear lest somehow as serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." So we see that the enemy did what to Eve? Deceived her. Okay, deceive means to give a false impression, to present a lie as truth. You are trying to convince someone that the lie that you are telling is truth. This is what Satan did to Eve. And this is what he is still doing today in the church. Now, craftiness very simply means this. It means trickery, okay? It means like clever, usually in clever or crafty or clever, usually in a dishonest or deceptive way. And corrupted, okay? So Paul is concerned about the Corinthians' minds being corrupted, which means to change from the correct or original form. Or we could also say what? Disrupt the divine order. So where is Satan trying to disrupt the divine order? Where? In your mind. It is that simple. It is that simple. It's not complicated. Don't think the attack of Satan is coming. Here comes a guy in red tights, and he's got horns and a pitchfork. No. Have you ever, I've done this. I don't know what Satan looks like. I honestly don't even really care, to be honest with you. I don't care what demons look like. I know Brother Hagin talked about that. He said they kind of look like, some of the lower level demons look like imps, kind of like little monkey looking things. Okay? He made that statement. None of that is really that important. What's important is, how is he attacking us? Because he's already defeated. And so he's winning by deception. Right? He's winning by telling lies. He's winning by telling lies. He is presenting something as truth that is not truth, which means that's exactly what he's doing in your life. If you have a promise from God and you haven't seen it manifest in your life, it means there's a deception somewhere. It means that he is crafty enough, and so what we need to do is protect our minds with truth. He wants to corrupt the way that you think. Okay, so to change from the correct or original form. The original form is everything that was created and not touched by sin. So everything from Genesis 1 to Genesis 3. When Genesis 3 hit and Satan got in, what happened? There was a corruption of the original form. There was a corruption. Okay, think about it. Divorce. We'll just take divorce for instance. What is divorce? Did God create divorce? No, he didn't. Now, there's no condemnation. Just hear me out. What I'm saying is that is a corruption, that is a disruption in the divine order of things. So what do we need to guard our mind against? Separation. What God has joined together, let what? No man put asunder, or asunder means separate. That, don't let any man separate it. Now, sometimes there are situations where one person separates, and they're separating no matter what, okay? But the point is that that's a disruption in the divine order of things. That's a disruption in the divine order of things. All right, from the simplicity that is in Christ. Do you see that last part? Do you know what that word simplicity means? Singleness. One. In other words, the Lord is saying, if you focus on Christ, if you focus on him, you'll have one focus and your life will be simple. Don't worry about everybody else. Yeah, well, you guys are a faith church. You know, people ask me, what kind of church are you? You know, and I don't know what to say. I mean, we believe the Bible. And then I have some people, yeah, everybody believes the Bible. You know, well, how do you explain it all? I mean, there's so many different flavors. You know, it's like Baskin and Robbins. There's 31 different denominations you can choose from. No, we just believe the word. I guess, you know, for lack of a better word, I guess we're word of faith. But the point is not that all the division is not necessary. It's not, I mean, we believe the word. And if we just believe the word and stick with what the Lord said, it's simple. We don't have to be all over the place. Well, they don't agree with me. So, make it simple. Just love them. Well, they think my God is, you know, they think we just hate homosexuals. We don't hate anybody. But I'm not going to fight with you over it. I keep it simple. I just love you anyway. I mean, really, keep it simple. Be happy in the Lord. Then if you do that, you won't have to worry about much of anything else. Okay. So set your mind on things above. There's a translation that I wanted to read that same verse out of, and it says this. In other words, keep it simple. But 2 Corinthians 11:3 in the NASU says this. But I am afraid that after the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. Do you see that? Your mind is what? Led astray. Which is what? Deception. What did Adam and Eve do? No, we won't die. Wrong. You're going to die. Okay, God said we're going to die. Satan says, oh no, you won't. You'll actually become God. Who's right? Okay, now we've all picked the wrong fruit. You understand that? Well, and at this point in our lives, and at this point in creation, it's kind of that way. Everybody's born into sin. You have to teach a kid how to sin. You got to teach them how to not lie. They'll do it, man. They'll just do it. Because it's the nature. Okay? So, but when you're born again, you get a new nature. You get a new nature. All right. So, don't let your mind be led astray. I thought about that. I wonder if that's where we got the term, they lost their mind. I thought about that. If you keep your mind on Christ, you will see you will keep your victory as well. When the mind is led astray, then the mouth is led astray, and then the life is led astray. Okay? And if you don't believe that, you can read James 3, verse 2 through 4. And it talks about the power of the tongue, and I've been quoting this verse, but Proverbs 18:21 is the other one. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 says this. Says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, or we could just say the word, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, we read that last week and we talked about it. I don't want to go through that again, okay? If you want to read about or listen to it, you can listen to the message from last week if you want a refresher. But here's what I want to get to. Let's go to Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 4, and we'll start there. If you want another scripture on what to think on that goes in line with 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 through 6 or whatever that is, you can go to Philippians 4, 8. Don't turn there right now, but if you want to look it up later, Philippians 4, 8 and 9, it tells you whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, pure, and it says think on those things. The main thought that I wanted you to get there with that particular point was simply this: you can control your mind. Do not believe you can't, because you can. I don't care what you feel like, you can control your mind with your words. Speak faith-filled words. You can do it. Okay? Say it with me. Say, I can control my mind. It's my mind, not anybody else's. And I control it. Okay. How do we apply this in our daily lives? Our example is Jesus. James 4:7, and this is our main scripture that we've been looking at, but it says, so be subject to God, resist the devil, and stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant and cautious at all times, for that enemy of yours, the devil, roams about like a roaring lion in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Withstand him, be firm in the faith against his onset, rooted, established, immovable, and determined, knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to the brotherhood, the whole body of Christians throughout the world. Okay? So stand against the enemy. Don't give him place. Where is he attacking you at? Your mind, okay? So your job is to resist him. His job is to flee. And you don't have to try and work up some sort of power. God's power is working on your behalf, okay? Luke chapter 4, verse 1, this is spiritual warfare right here. Okay, you're probably already there, but I will get there. And then it says this, verse 1, then Jesus, full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led in by the Holy Spirit for during 40 days in the wilderness desert, where he was tempted, tried, and tested exceedingly by the devil. And after he ate nothing during those days, and when they were completed, he was hungry. Okay? Then, verse 3, the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, order this stone to be turned into a loaf of bread. And Jesus replied and said to him, it is written, man shall not live and be sustained by or on bread alone, but by every word and expression of God. Then the devil took him up to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the habitable world in a moment of time, in the twinkling of an eye. And he said to him, to you I will give all this power and authority and their glory, all their magnificence, excellence, preeminence, dignity, and grace, for it has been turned over to me, and I give it to whomever I will. Who does that? So what did Satan just confess right there? He's in control of the world, correct? Okay. Therefore, verse 7, if you will do homage or worship me just once, it shall all be yours. You don't want to worship the devil, not even once. And Jesus replied to him, get behind me, Satan. It is written, you shall not worship You shall do homage. Verse 8. I'm starting over. I got lost. And Jesus replied to him, "Get behind me, Satan. It is written, you shall do homage to and worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then he took him to Jerusalem, set him on the gable of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down from here, for it is written, he will give his angels charge over you to guard and watch over you closely and carefully. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus replied to him, "The scripture says, you shall not tempt, try, or test exceedingly the Lord your God." It says that in Deuteronomy 6:16. And when the devil had ended, every temptation, he temporarily left Jesus and stood off from him until another more opportune and favorable time. Okay, 3 points here, and then we're done. What is Satan attempting to do with Jesus here? What he did, this is what he's attempting to do. So the question is, what is Satan attempting to do with Jesus here? What he did with Adam and Eve in the garden. He's trying to do the exact same thing. Okay? He is attempting to what? Disrupt the divine order in Jesus' life. Because what was the first question he asked him? If you are what? The Son of God? Jesus didn't bat an eye. What do you mean if? I is. I'm not going to turn the stones to bread because I trust the Lord. I don't live on bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Satan is after something with him. He's trying to put a cloud over what Jesus has learned. The scripture clearly teaches that Jesus grew naturally and in knowledge and in favor with men and God. Jesus didn't show up as God. You realize that? In all his power. Okay? If God showed up in all of his power, we'd be out of here. Our flesh couldn't handle it. Okay? But, so, Satan is trying to get Jesus to follow his thoughts and ways rather than God's. This is very simple and subtle, but it is exactly how Satan gets a foothold and a stronghold in our lives. When we follow the devil's deception and reject God's truth, we will end up yielding our lives to stealing, killing, and destroying. Okay, secondly, where is the attacking coming to? Where is the attack coming to? This attack is not a fist fight. It is a fight of suggestions or thoughts. Satan is not physically attacking Jesus. He is using what? Mental warfare. That's what he's doing. It's as simple, I'll put it to you like this. It's as simple as your bills probably won't all be paid this month. But what do we know the scripture says in Philippians 4:19? All my needs? So what is the response? Looking at the ministry of Jesus, looking at the way he reacted to situations, what is the response? No, get behind me, Satan. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Do you see that? Guys, listen to me carefully. It is that simple. The victory versus defeat is that simple. It's that simple. Well, that person probably doesn't even really like you. Maybe they don't even know you. Well, they never talk to me. Maybe they're afraid. And even if they don't, God loves me. I'm telling you, that's how churches get divided up. Well, Susan always sits on that side. Chris always sits on this side. I mean, that's how things get divided up. You said, that may sound really simple. It's exactly what the enemy does. Well, the pastor didn't say hi to me. Maybe they had their mind on something else. It's that simple. You say, well, why would you bring up those things? Well, I don't know other than the Holy Ghost would. But let me say this. That's how moves of God stop. Because see, in Christ and in serving him, you're supposed to be in simplicity. In other words, even if you didn't show up, which I'm very thankful that you do. Don't get me wrong, okay? But let's just, I want to keep it in context here. Even if you didn't show up and God told me to do this, I would do it anyway. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, there needs to be that determination in you to where, no, I'm moving forward no matter what. Yeah, but everybody left. I know I'm moving forward. Yeah, but the Lord said this was going to happen, and then the people left. No, no, no. I will have what the Lord said is mine. See, this is faith. You understand? Listen, don't just look at me. Look at Jesus. He said, look, you disciples, you're all going to leave me, but I'm not alone because my God's with me. Was Jesus all alone in the sense of the natural, just natural people when he was crucified on the cross? I mean, there were people around him, but who was with him? God. And then even at the point where he had so much faith, he just went, God, you've forsaken me on the cross. But he finished the work, and then what happened? Was it worth it? Listen to me. I'm speaking by the Lord right now, so listen to me carefully. Everything that you think you went through where it looked like everything has fallen apart and it's never going to work, the Lord is saying, look to my death, burial, and resurrection because I can bring it all back. All of it. Rain. Let it rain. He can bring it all back. Don't think. Don't let the enemy get in your head and think to yourself, well, I thought I had these dreams about what God was going to do with my life, and I thought maybe, no, 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 no. It doesn't matter if you've been in the grave for 4 days and your name's Lazarus or whatever it is. It can change if you believe. Don't accept the lie. Believe the truth. Well, how will we ever, God? Well, what? It's a mountain. It'll go in the ocean. Yeah, but no, God, simplicity, singleness. Okay, last. How is Jesus defeating the devil? Jesus is defeating the enemy by speaking words to him. He's just quoting the Bible. Really, himself. Kind of an interesting thought, but it's true. He's just quoting the Bible. How will we make it through? Listen, Jesus was feeling everything you feel when you're tempted. Everything. Jesus was feeling hungry. He was tired. He was wore out. He was feeling all those things because he had a physical body. The Bible says he was hungry. The Bible says many times he was tired. He was so tired he almost slept through a whole storm. If the disciples would have just left him alone, could have finished his nap. But what was the difference between Jesus and the disciples in that moment in the storm? The disciples are full of a disruption in the divine order. And Jesus is in the peace to where he gets up and says, no, no, you waves, knock it off. Why? Satan got in the waves. Did God create the bodies of water to have storms so they could sink ships? No. The enemy's working in the earth, in the ground. So don't think, well, how are we going to do it? All things are possible to him that believes. Just hang on to it. When you wake up tomorrow, and if you feel tired, just say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Well, how are you going to do this? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Listen, you might as well confess it over yourself because I'm confessing it over you. I am. I take the confession book, and I do. I mean, I'm not Catholic or anything or any of those other, but the word of faith works. And so I'll just simply say, you know, things like, I love these. These are so awesome. But I'll simply take this book in the mornings, and these are personalized. So they really say I is what they really say. But I'll take them and make them general. I'll do this. Faith Family Church is the body of Christ, and Satan has no power over them, for they overcome evil with good. That's what I do. We are of God and have overcome Satan, for greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. We fear no evil. Because he's with us. the Lord. And the Word and the Spirit, they comfort us. How will we win? Just say what he said. Live by what you know, not by what you feel. And you'll win every time. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much. Lord, we are expecting great things from you. I mean, just above and beyond all we could ask or think. Lord, we purpose. We're not moved by what we see or what we feel. We are moved and governed by what we believe. We allow the Word of God to govern what we think, say, and do. Lord, we are going to be little mimics of you. When you said, get thee behind me, we're going to say, get thee behind me. When you laid hands up, we're going to lay hands on the sick. Lord, you said in your word that we were to walk and show forth the kingdom. And I thank you that you are putting a foundation underneath us that will cause us to rise up higher and higher and higher. And Lord, we just thank you right now in advance. Whatever it is that you have on your heart, let's just lift our hands. You don't have to lift them high, but just right in front of you. And just declare, just say, thank you, Lord, that the manifestation of your word is coming to pass in our lives. Lord, that needs are being met. The bodies are being healed. The family members are coming to you. Father, that oppression and those types of things are being broken in the name of Jesus. Lord, that chains are being removed even now. Lord, we're not going to wait to see the manifestation to believe what you said to us. But we thank you for it now in advance. We know that you are good. We know that you are faithful. Lord, we declare that the plan of God over our children, every one of them in this place, in the name of Jesus, will come to pass. Lord, we thank you that your angels encamp round about us on the path of our life, and that no evil shall befall us, that we shall be satisfied with long life, that no weapon formed against us will prosper, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Lord, we thank you that by the power of the Holy Spirit, Father, that you are opening the eyes of our understanding, not only in this adult service, Lord, but to the children, to the nursery, Lord, that they will all experience the word and the power of God in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that as we continue to move out into the community with commercialing about the ministry, with signs and different things like that, Lord, as we begin to reach out into the community, that, Father, the divine favor of heaven will be on everything we put our hand to, and you are drawing those to yourself and to this place that you long to be a part of what you've called us to do. And we thank you for it in advance in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.